Well, glad to be here tonight. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs with just a couple of verses. Then we're going to flip over to 1 Thessalonians. A couple things about dad or fathers to encourage you tonight. And I know I'm a dad, but I'm probably not the ideal one to be preaching about how to be a dad. And my boys will probably agree with that assessment as well. But in Proverbs, just something real quick about the father. Just a couple quick verses. You know, you probably don't even have to turn there. First chapter, verse number 8, my son, hear the what of thy father? Instruction. Flip over to chapter 4. And we could look at many other verses. I just picked two before we go to 1 Thessalonians. Hear ye children, verse 1 of chapter 4, hear ye children the what of the father? Instruction. So, I mean, we could look at numerous other passages, but for sake of time, we won't. But the father is to instruct and to teach his children. So the question would come up, well then, how is that to be done? How is that to be done? How should we teach? It's, you know, there's a variety of ways to teach. There's a variety of attitudes to have. And, you know, all of you that are dads probably know there's the attitudes of maybe anger or angst. If you've never experienced that as a father, then I don't know. Maybe you have perfect angels at home and you can come tell me about how that works because I don't know. Or you have, you know, the right attitude and so forth. But it's, many times it's easy to get lost in the weeds of that. But how should our manner be as a father when we're tasked very clearly with the duty of instruction? It's our job as dads to teach. And I've kind of come to realize this more and more because, you know, we work with kids a lot here at the school and worked with them for many years. In the 18, 19 years I've been here, I've seen how children have changed. Ms. Pepper's seen it for 48, is it now? 47, 48. She told me she's trying to get to 50. So she's 50 years old. She's trying to get to 50. She's almost there. She's at 29, and she's getting closer. But, we talk about, we've seen how children have changed. And sometimes I've been convicted by this many times, as those kids. And sometimes I have to take a step back and say, well, why? Why are there kids marching in these pride parades and all this stuff they're throwing on them? Is it their fault necessarily? At some point, there it is. They have to make a decision. They have to know what they're doing. But where's the dads? Where's the fathers that are to give the instruction? You can look at that. We don't have time to get into all the statistics about lack of fatherhood in our country and all the repercussions of that. When there's a degradation of the home, there's no instruction of the father. And then mom's trying to do it all, perhaps, you know. And we see that situation played out many times in our school with our families where mom's trying to do it all, grandma and grandpa are helping. But you can't just replace dad, not have that instruction, and think that everything's going to be okay. Now, God's grace can do it all. And God's grace gives trophies even in those bad situations. But I think there's a dearth of instruction of the dad in our country. And the dads aren't teaching. The dads aren't instructing. The dads aren't showing their kids how to do things. Even simple things like working on a car, right? Changing oil and all those kind of things. We did a shop class in our school this year. Brother Molina comes up and teach that. And boy, those kids, some of them were really excited to have that, learn how to do those things. And, it's kind of challenging to get in there and figure out what something's wrong and get in there and fix it yourself. Well, that's good, isn't it? I've learned a lot from my friend Mr. Gamble back here. It's easy when the washing machine breaks. What does Lucy want to do, John, when the washer breaks? Go buy a new one. But do you think John is going to let that happen? Maybe after 40 years of the same one, he might back off. I think he just got a new fridge for the first time in, we won't say how many years. But John taught me something about, you know, you can figure it out and you can fix it. I took the whole washing machine apart and replaced that back bracket that was broke. I felt kind of proud of myself. Now, he had to help me a little bit because I got confused. He has a manual, by the way, of how to fix appliances. This is John for you. But you can learn some things. You can be taught. And I know these are practical things, but especially when it comes to life and spiritual things. There's a great lack of that in our country. And as Christians, as fathers, we need to be following through with what God says here in the book of Proverbs to give that instruction. Now, if the child chooses not to hear it, well, then they're accountable to God for those things, of course. But we need to not let up on our responsibility to do that. But I think many times, or sometimes, maybe we aren't giving that instruction in the way that God wants us to. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I always enjoy reading through this passage because if you ever want to know how you ought to give the gospel, how you ought to serve in a ministry, how you ought to reach other people, you look at the life of Paul. And I know we get our own mind, we get our own constructs of how we ought to do things, and buddy, it's set in stone and we aren't going to change it for nothing. Well, we got to let the Bible guide that. And when I love reading chapter 2 of Thessalonians, because I'm always convicted when I read that. A lot of times before a new school year starts, I look back at this chapter. How should I minister to these young people and families at Santa Rosa Christian School? How should I help the staff and faculty here that are under my care? How should I help my own family? Well, Paul gives a detailed description in chapter 2. We don't have time to get tonight into all of that. You can preach a series of messages on how Paul approached ministry when he came to the Thessalonians. Now, obviously, you have to know who you're coming to. This is a little different than the way he came to the Corinthians, right? We've been studying 1 Corinthians. He kind of had to put the hammer on them a little bit. There's a time for that. And that's not at all what I'm trying to dismiss tonight. There's a time where there has to be firmness, correction, hardness. Son, you need to listen to this. This is the direction you need to go. This is right. This is wrong. We've got to have that place. There's also another side of that coin. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, for example, he talks about how he didn't come with flattering words in verse 5. He didn't come in verse 6 to seek glory of men. Verse 7. He compares it to a mother. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. There's a time for that gentility, and that's, you know, he relates that to the mother, the nurse, so to speak. Verse 8, being affectionately desirous of you to give the gospel. Verse 9, we labored and travailed. Verse 10, we were holy and just and unblameable in our behavior before you. All of this is describing how Paul ministered to people. Then we get to verse 11, and this is the verse that kind of stood out to me tonight, because he talks three different verbs about what a father does for his children. And, you don't have to be a grammar genius or anything to see this. I said the word verb, and some of you already checked out. Michael started having trauma back to high school about grammar class when I said the word verb. But there's three verbs there. You can see them. We all know what they are. Verse 11, as you know, how we what? Exhorted. What's the next verb? Comforted, last verb, charged. Exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That word exhort, it's a word parakalatos. It means to call to one side. You see that par, like paraclete, is one beside that comes to help you. We see that little preposition in the beginning, para. To call to the side, to summon. It's used in the book of Acts in different situations to implore or to plead. It's used in chapter 14 to encourage. It has the idea of admonishing, entreating, beseeching, calling beside. Kind of shows an attitude of concern. You know, this is, I've learned a lot as a father of how not to do things. So, when I talk tonight, I'm talking about the things that I wish I would do more of, you know. And there's times and places, don't misunderstand me, but I'll use a school example. When you get to a certain age of students, like especially in middle school, I learned something really easy. I love middle school. Love teaching middle school. I got to teach for about 3 weeks a middle school class this year, and I really enjoyed it. I learned something really quick about middle school. And again, sometimes you have to, but they don't like to be embarrassed in front of the whole class. Now, they don't mind embarrassing everybody else, and they don't mind causing a stir, but buddy, they will turn you off quicker than they turn a water faucet off. And I found it more effective to call them to my side. Hey, why don't you come see me after class and then keep on teaching? And then everybody's like, uh-oh, I don't want to come see him after class. Whitney, he knows all about coming and seeing the teacher after class. He doesn't want to do that. And there's a spitball master back there. But, you know, I found that, you know, come. Now, there's times where, we're going to clear it up right here in front of the class because, hey, sin before all, rebuke before all. You know, there's that as well. But there's times where the father says, I'm going to instruct you and I'm going to call you over here to my side. That's the idea of that word exhort. I'm going to summon you over here with an attitude. It has the concept of an attitude of beseeching, entreating, admonishing, but with a heart of concern. You know, it's easier for me to just see something and I'm ready to lamb blast my kids back into the 19th century that they don't even know existed. And, you know, that may be the case and may be needed many times. But why is that happening? I need to be aware of and concerned. We need to have we got to give consequences and we have to discipline. We may need to have some discussion as well of, son, let's talk about what the Bible says here. Let's learn some instruction so we, after the consequences, we're going to deal with them. You're going to get consequences, but let's learn from this. Come along beside and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to exhort you with that attitude of concern. Yes, young children, learn to obey, hopefully. And if you can teach your children to obey from a young age, you will save yourself a lot of trouble in the future to teach them to listen and obey. But there's times as they get older that you need to call them over with an attitude of concern and let's show from God's word some instruction. That's the idea of this word exhort. To teach with a heart of concern that you want them to learn what is right so it would change their lives. And we, of course, are going to see later that learning must come from God's word. The second word is the word comfort. The word comfort. Now, that you may think, I look at that and I say, well, that's the last thing a father wants to do is to comfort. You know, we're all brash and hardcore out there, like, you know, John taking his boys out into the freezing cold temperatures of camping or whatever you do in the pouring down rain. And I remember Todd and Roger talking about their stories of going out camping and sleeping on tree roots and having their little rope with the canvas that Aunt Betty made for them draped over there. You know, and Eric and all them are in a nice tent. And Roger, what happened around here? Roger, if you, that's the funniest story. He tells it in chapel sometimes. It's hilarious. We sleep on tree roots. That's a great pillow. So anyway, yeah, we're men. We're going to get out there and we're going to show them what's up. I always remember the story. Maybe I was too harsh. I don't know. But when Seth was playing coach pitch or whatever on field one years ago, they hit a line drive to second base. And that ball just came up and, I mean, just smashed him right in the face. I mean, full on right to the face. No glove or nothing first. And he looked up and had blood coming down and the ball sitting right there and the kid's running to first. And I just stood up and said, get the ball! Out. Amen. And then I was like, all right, you're all right. Then mamas in that stands would have thought I was some kind of, they just looked up like, oh! And Megan just kind of chuckled about it, you know. But you know, we're all hardcore, aren't we, men? Arr, you know, getting there. Oh, we're sawing a board. Oops, I went my wrist. All right, cut another one, son. No, you know, we go a little extreme sometimes. But, you know, we men like to be hard and brash and things. But there's this word I thought it was interesting, that comfort. Comfort. A dad can give some comfort. It's the word para mythumenoi. You see that word para again, come beside. And it means to speak beside, to encourage, or console. Now, you have to have wisdom as a dad. There's times where it's, you got to deal with it. Then there's times when you got to know how to show some consolation, some encouragement. You know, are your children at the point where they can come to you as they get older and come to you for consolation? Or are they too afraid of that? They're too afraid. And they don't know, what dad's going to yell at me again or something. Can they come for that encouragement, that consolation? Times where dad, it doesn't seem like, it's against our nature. Times where dad has to show compassion. Dad has to show tenderness in his dealing with the children. And typically with me, that's after I've done my ranting and raving, that Megan kind of goes, and, kind of blew that one up, didn't I? Anybody, am I the only one? Now, come on, guys. Now, come on. Chris, am I the only one? Yes, I guess so. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, he's like, not me. Yeah, and I know this may sound weird to you, but you know, I've had to apologize to my sons before. Oh, it's weakness. No, it was my flesh. Let's just call it what it was. And maybe when it was a time for comforting and consolation and encouraging and teaching, I made it bazooka fest. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to blow it up and break them. You know, the Bible says that Christ didn't want to quench the smoking flax. And he didn't want to break the bruised reed. We got to have wisdom to discern that. I'm not saying every situation is that, but we have to. There's times where we exhort. There's times we might have to comfort and console with the right attitude. Then there's times, thirdly, to charge. So we've seen the times where we have to have that attitude of teaching with concern in our heart. We're concerned for their spiritual well-being. We're concerned for them as men or as young ladies. Or I can't say, I don't know what it is to have a daughter. I'm going to say as my young men. I'm concerned. Got to pull them aside. We got to instruct. We got to teach. We got to have that heart. There's times then, secondly, to comfort, console with the words of truth. Then there's times, thirdly, we've got to charge them. That word is the word martyromenoi. You see that word martyrios in the Greek, which doesn't necessarily mean the word martyr, but it means a witness, a testimony. In other words, it's the idea of you're being called up to court and you have to, you know, I do solemnly swear to give proper testimony and those things that they say in the courts. It's a solemn and a serious situation. You know, and I enjoy having fun. I like doing fun things with my boys. I enjoy doing certain things, and we like watching sports together. And when I was a kid in the 90s, we never watched that little girly game that I used to, I was like soccer. I ain't gonna watch no soccer. Right, Asa? There you go. And Asa and Jared over there, I said, man, this thing's pretty cool. This is kind of fun. There's actually strategy on this thing. It's kind of neat. I'm North Carolina, hardcore, basketball through and through. And actually, I enjoyed watching the World Cup and watching some of that. It's kind of neat. I like watching those kind of things with my boys, or watching basketball games, or going to Wahoos or the Braves, right? Go Braves, and get a little plug in there. Or Roll Tides. I'm sure that Bill and Zach have had a lot of Roll Tide moments, and they remember. And you enjoy those things. I know Todd likes the Gators with his boys, right? It's for fun. Great. Have that relationship, those times of fun. But you know what? As a father, it's not all fun and games. And this word, charging, has the idea of there's some serious things that have to be talked about. This instruction isn't just something light. This instruction is solemn. It's as serious as if you were testifying before a judge. And that's the kind of attitude and heart that we solemnly declare and solemnly call up almost like a witness to seriously discuss these things. And what are we to talk about? What did Paul talk about as a father to the Thessalonians? Let's continue reading in verse number 12. What kind of things should we exhort? What kind of things should we comfort? What kind of things should we charge or have a solemn testimony toward? It's verse 12, to walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Now, our kids can go out and make all the money they want. They can be successful, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what God has for them and they have very successful, great, wonderful. But you know what should be most important to us? It's not the advice we give to them about money, or not the advice we give to them about, I'm going to show you how to buy a car. I'm going to show you how to fix the washing machine. I'm going to show you how to, change the oil. Those are all good things. But there's something that's way more important, and it's to walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. All those things that we do together in family and relationships, they're wonderful things. But the preeminence should be on our walk with God. Are we exhorting, comforting, and charging about walking worthy of God? Now let's go a little farther because how do we decide as a dad what is walking worthy? Now here's where we can get in a little bit of trouble. Where's my definition of walking worthy going to come from? Look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of Paul, of us, ye received it not as the word of who? Men. But as it is in truth, the word of God. And if we're not careful, we can substitute our idea of walking worthy with what God says it is. And we can build up this construct, and then we judge everything by that construct of what men have made instead of what this book says. Which means as dads, we got to know this book. We got to know it. We got to study it. We've got to read it. We've got to say, Lord, show me how to walk with you. What does it mean to walk worthy so that I can teach my sons to walk worthy so that they can then learn on their own from God's word? They can teach their sons how to walk worthy. And that line continues, but many times we get stuck on, look at the men. You think about the Judaizers that were running around in the days of Paul. And they were trying to make their own religion. Well, you got to do it this way. You have to stick with the law, you know, and all these little things. It was interesting when I was in Spain. It was the first time I've ever seen this. There was an old city called Besalú. It's right near that camp where Josh Balcarcel has that we stayed in. And I'll show you some pictures, hopefully, really quickly that one night that we do a presentation. But it was one of the last Jewish sectors in that city. During World War II, it's an old city. They had a bridge there from the Roman Empire days, Roman times, and like or late medieval or something. It was unbelievable. We got to walk on it. The original wooden gate was there. Thing is thousands of years old or something. It was amazing. But they had on one side, they had a Jewish ghetto where they had all the Jews had to go to during World War II. When the Nazis were looking for everybody and all those kind of things. And then there were some persecutions that were there. It was very interesting. But there was one area where they had an old synagogue and an old house. And right by the house there, it was all stone. There were these holes drilled in it. You know what they would do with that? Take the little scrolls of the Bible, right? You bind them as phylacteries upon your head and put them in the doors of your house. Remember that in the Old Testament? And they would take the little scrolls and they would stick them right there in the doorposts. Now, that just kind of was neat to me. I like that kind of stuff. I'm getting sidetracked. But, follow the way, or if you don't do, you got to do it. You got to do exactly what the Jews did. That's what the Judaizers were trying to say. Keep the law, keep the law, keep the law. They had made a system about men. And the Galatians, by the way, fell for it, didn't they? The church at Galatia. And Paul is telling the Thessalonians that I thank God that you did not fall for it. You didn't fall for religion. You went for the Word of God. Because what can the Word of God do that religion can't do? End of verse 13. The Word of God effectually worketh in you. Religion doesn't work in you. Religion makes you work. I was just amazed in Europe seeing the people there. And Brother Peter took us up to this place called Montserrat. It's a mountain. It is the ugliest looking mountain I've ever seen. The whole top of it is all bare and rocky and jagged. It looks like the name comes from, it looks like somebody picked the mountain up, flipped it upside down and stuck it back in the ground. Almost like the roots of the mountain are sticking up. And that's where that name for that mountain comes from. But way up in the top of that mountain, he drove Miss Priscilla and I, because we got there a day early, because I wasn't about to do the 12-hour layover and all those things that Alvarez did. It was kind of funny. But anyway, he took us up there because they found a black Madonna, right? It fell from the sky. And so they had this black Madonna image way up in the top of the cathedral there, up in front where everybody worshiped it. And they have a school there where all the boys go. The Catholic boys can go and stay there and learn to become priests and monks and all those things. And they came out and were singing and the rows and rows of candles that were lit and people just stopping and, you know, grabbing onto altars and praying. And I was just thinking, the darkness of religion in that particular location was unbelievable. You know, we don't think about that much here because Catholic Church here in America is a little different. They're polished. They believe the same thing we do. That's what they'll tell you. You try to witness to one. Well, I believe that. We're the same. They're convinced of it. They haven't seen the raw Catholicism that still exists in every other country of this world. But it's religion. And the people just working. Oh, I'm going to buy another candle. It is a money racket. I mean, they had places you could scan your card, tap. They were getting money left and right from people. And just building these, just unbelievably how much those things, there ain't no telling how much they cost. But people just in bondage to it, making pilgrimages up that mountain. To visit that shrine, to worship the Black Madonna. And the binding work of religion. If we as fathers are teaching the word of men, we are not going to help our children understand the word of God. And that's what works. That's what effectually works in us when we believe. And so Paul was thankful that he came as a father. He exhorted, he taught, he comforted when it was needed. He charged solemnly when it was needed. And we've got to understand, Lord, these are my responsibilities. I've got to teach. And yes, there's times, other passages where the father disciplines and the father, there's a variety of things to do. But we must do it with the right heart and attitude because our goal should be, I want my children to walk worthy of God. And walking worthy isn't what I think it is. Walking worthy is what God's Word says it is. And we've got to get our thoughts in line with the Scripture. We've got to work out our salvation. We've got to teach and train our young people so that when they're old and they're of age, they can work out their salvation. They can study God's Word. And they also can walk worthy. But it is, as it is in truth, the Word of God. I hope that as fathers tonight, that we want our young people to know God's Word, to be able to walk worthy, not as it is in men, not the word of men. Paul did not want them to follow his words, but God's words. God's words. And so let's exhort, let's comfort, let's charge, let's have the wisdom to do that so that our children can also walk worthy of God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Father, forgive us for our shortcomings and failures and sins even as fathers. When we react in the flesh, we act in the flesh, we do what we want to do. We leave damage control behind. And how many times, Father, we need your wisdom. Your wisdom to discipline. Your wisdom to give consequences. Your wisdom to take a stand. Your wisdom to comfort. Your wisdom to teach. Lord, we need to have your discernment so that we can live by your Spirit, even when dealing with our young people, our children. Father, it is our desire that they would walk worthy of the Word of God. Father, if we haven't taught the Word of God, we've failed as fathers. Father, forgive us. Help us, Lord, to redeem the time that we have, to instruct, to be grounded in your Word ourselves, and to be able to give this to our children so that they also could walk after your ways. Bless us now in Christ's name. Amen.